Well, this is something you won't hear every day. The prologue of an opera with music and words by two scientists. Librettist Oscar Villaroya is also a neuropsychiatrist, and the music is by Luke Steels, who's an artificial intelligence researcher. The theme is immortality in an age of virtual agents, social media, immersive gaming environments, artificial intelligence, and increasingly ideas of uploading our minds to the cloud, a brain backup, if you will. For the composer-scientist, there are echoes of the story of Faust, who sells his soul to the devil. The contemporary take is a performance with traditional choir, singers and orchestra, but with augmentation from the very latest technologies like virtual reality. The opera, Fausto, premiered recently in Brussels. Luke Steels, who is a fellow at the Institute of Advanced Studies in Catalonia, has been telling me about the piece and the story behind it.
We have the Faust myth, which most people know. You know, there's the bad guy, Mephisto, who is making a pact with Fausto in order to get hold of his soul. Now, we have changed things around in the sense that Mephisto is a virtual agent living in a kind of cloud. And he's interested not so much in the soul of humans, but in their body, because he realizes that to be fully, let's say, conscious, emotional, and all that, you need to be embodied in the world. And then Fausto is like a hipster entrepreneur who has been working on apps related to immortality and making copies of yourself, digital replicants, and those kinds of things. And Margherita is basically his assistant, the programmer. And so the story unfolds then that Margherita is kind of both the lover of Fausto, but also a programmer, and she feels that there's not enough attention for her. She has to work too much and things escalate, so she commits suicide. I mean, you know, in the opera we need strong events from the start. And then Mephisto will appear basically as called by the app that Fausto has been trying to create. And so Mephisto appears and tells Fausto, okay, I can make Margherita reappear again, but in the virtual world. But, you know, in exchange, he wants to have the body of Fausto. So that's how the story then unfolds, the dilemma of Fausto, whether he will give up his body and be with Margherita in the cloud, you know, and they have immortality, they have access to universal knowledge, or whether he will stay on Earth and embodied and without immortality and limited knowledge.
And the crucial thing is here, you know, for people who are familiar with the original cautionary tale of Faust, is that in that original telling of the tale, the pact is that Faust gives to Mephisto his soul, but in this case, what Mephisto is after, he wants Faust's body. That's the big inversion here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the big inversion. This is warnings of various kinds, to tell people that the body and the social interaction is important, and that in the virtual world, you know, these agents or just using social media without any embodiment and social context is a danger.
And many of these insights occur to Fausto, it seems, a little bit late, as his mind is finally uploading. Not so long ago on this programme, we were talking about transhumanism. And of course, it's very easy to give into this idea that somehow we'll solve mortality by being able to upload our consciousness. And what your tale reminds us very potently is that none of this really matters, none of it counts if it's not embodied. You know, our physical presence is all important.
Exactly. So indeed, there is this whole movement of transhumanism and neo-Gnosticism. And there are two roads, you might say, that people have been talking about, and not just talking about, also researching. One road is to do a kind of brain scan and try to digitize the states of the brain and the connections between them and put it on in a digital medium. And then the idea is that we can run the simulation of the brain, and this way we could actually have a mind-uploading device or copying being made. I think that this road is very unrealistic, actually, for many reasons, partly complexity of the brain, and of course today we cannot do this at all. Mm. Now the other road, which is the one that is actually already being tried, and there are companies that are giving this service, is actually that you use artificial intelligence, machine learning techniques, to go through all the digital traces that you are leaving on the internet and so on, data from Twitter and Facebook and your emails and maybe your video clips, to progressively make a digital copy of your mind, the kind of artificial persona which will live on after you or can act instead of you. It would talk like you, it would respond in a similar way to email messages and so on. And this kind of thing is really going on already. It's not yet very common, but I can imagine a time when basically everybody has such a virtual agent that's a copy of them and it's doing all sorts of tasks for you. Well, then we get a situation like in the opera.
So it's probably already beginning to become possible to have a conversation with a deceased person, kind of as if they're still there.
Yeah, it's
weird.
I find it scary and creepy, but you know, there are apparently people who say this is the way to create a monument for our loved ones or to keep in touch somehow. This urge in society, apparently, or this urge of people, which has always been there, to continue to exist after death, so to speak. But I guess what we are trying to say, that the strong limits in terms of embodiment and social, particularly also social relationship, that would lead to a very empty existence if all there is these virtual agents on the cloud.
Finita, finita. A more elegant way than I usually find to say it. But that is it for this week, at least.